everyone, welcome back to A Court of Tattoos and Rosé After Dark, where we go through and discuss whatever we want with Madison and me, Blake. Actually, it's not just us tonight. Madison is here, though. Say hi, Maddie.
I'm, like, kind of here.
You are here.
Wow. If I can see your pretty face, you're here.
I'm here in spirit, at least.
Gosh, she's alive. That sounded a little weird, but she's good. She's healthy. She's fine. We can see her. We have proof of life. I say we because we are also joined by the one, the only, Danielle.
Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl.
So Danielle, guys, I'm gonna be real honest. She's not fucking around. She came ready to go, prepared. She took one for the team here. I do think it would have been funny if you did try to like rope us into something else, as we were saying, but
yeah, that I'm glad you didn't. Funny.
That would have been funny.
I'd have been like, fuck off.
Yeah, Matt would have been mad, and you know, I'm good at that, and then she really holds a grudge.
Madison would have, like, gone off screen and started going, wee-woo, wee-woo, pop back on. Oh, my God, guys, the cops are here.
Go.
Oh, shit. Okay, so. All right, for all you Throne of Glass fans, you owe Danielle a big old thank you. Because, Danielle, what are we talking about today?
We are recapping. Well, we're continuing the Air of Fire deep dive and doing chapters 21 through 26 today.
Fuck yeah, we are. Let's do it.
Because we haven't done Air of Fire in
We haven't done Air of Fire in so long. It's been a hot minute.
It's been since, I think, it's been since Iron Flame, because I re-listened to prepare to the 16 through 20 episode. And you were reading Air of Fire. You're reading Iron Flame. So it was November.
That sounds about right, because then starting in, like, November, December, most of our other episodes were, like, theory episodes leading into Flame and Shadow.
Yep.
Hot damn. Oh, November 9th. Yep, November 9th was the last one.
Yep, and then you were talking about that you got the spoiler.
Yep, it's all coming back to me. Thank you for that reminder. Yep, it's all hit me at once. What a great day! How awesome! Great day. Loved it. Fond memories.
Fond memories.
Fond memories. I came on trying to, you know, have somebody be like, "Oh my god, that sucks." Meanwhile, Madison's like, "You're a dumb bitch."
Well,
I mean, she was correct. She was like, "I could have checked it for you, but you didn't do it."
I was not wrong.
Wow, I came on here happy to hang out with my friends, talk some Air of Fire, not get re-traumatized and bullied.
Sorry.
You know,
just happened to be the 3 minutes episode.
You're in an episode with Danielle. I don't know how that equals not being bullied.
No, you're a bad influence. Danielle's a beautiful, sweet angel. She's nothing but supportive. Then you pop in and you're like, let's fuck Blake's day up. Fuck that bitch.
Because, you know, we should maybe watch a Step Brother romance.
Dude, don't even.
That's it. All right.
Don't even.
I'm going
don't
silent. Even. Go ahead, Danielle. What's the recap?
All right, so the recap from last time. Chapter 16 through 20. The witches were training with just waiting for selection day for the wyverns. And then Aelin and Rowan are also training, and that's not going great. Rowan is still yelling at Aelin to shift every day, and Aelin does not shift. So that's not going great. We're calling Aelin not Selenia, right? We were just like, fuck that. We're calling her Aelin, right?
Yeah. She's Aelin. Okay. Yep,
don't we know that?
No, we know that, but she doesn't call herself that.
Oh, but we know it.
Correct. And then Aelin is still struggling to let her feelings out. Rowan is being creepy and watching her like a hawk, LOL.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I
was really proud of that one.
Did you giggle when you first thought of that? You giggled to yourself, didn't you?
I did. And then Dorian and Sorsha, you know, they're just hanging out some more.
Suck ass.
For God's sake.
Dorian and Sorsha suck.
They do suck. But they're hanging out, trying to figure out how to suppress Dorian's magic so nobody knows he has magic. That's real cute. And then...
Is it cute?
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay.
Is it?
Is it? And then Kale and Adian are meeting up in secret, talking about secret rebel stuff. Kale's just trying to save Dorian because he's in love with him. It's a whole thing. And then... and then we end chapter 20 with a hot ass bite to the neck from Rowan to Aelin.
Oh my god. And then we get the fucking best little plot twist that her fucking form is human.
Yes. Yep. That's where god, we ended genius. Last time. So to go into chapter 21, Rowan grins. There you are. Blood. Her blood was on his teeth and his mouth and chin, and those dead eyes glowed as he spat her blood onto the earth. She probably tasted like sewer to him. But spoiler, probably definitely not. He probably was like, oh shit, immediately as it hit his tongue, and he was like, hmm.
I'm gonna be real honest. That picture that was just painted, hot as fuck.
Hot. And, like, reading this for the first time, like, you don't really, like, in this whole, like, sequence of, like, Aelin just, like, self-sabotaging, she doesn't even, like, real, like, when you read it on a reread, you know Rowan knows something in this moment, and, like, you can feel it. But, like, not knowing the first time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Aelin then goes straight for Rowan because she's pissed. She's pissed that he bit her, and she is mad. And then she realizes she's in her fey body, and she can smell, hear, taste everything. And she's like, I don't like this.
That would be so overwhelming.
So overwhelming, because she was immediately going to go for Rowan and then is like, well, hold on a sec. This is a lot. And then she, like, could not breathe. And then, like, Rowan's like, take a breath.
I don't relate to anyone that has a problem with being fae.
I just don't.
There's no relating to it.
But, like, the immediate shift, especially if it's against your will, I feel like it would take me a good couple minutes to be like,
I'd just be like, fuck yes.
Yeah, because she just...
You would be tripping over your feet because you moved too quick. God.
I would not complain. You wouldn't hear a single complaint from me.
And then, well, Aelin describes it as, and then stopped, and she took in the world with a stunning clarity, smelled it, tasted it, breathed it like the finest wine. I mean, that sounds great. And she said, gods, mm-hmm. This place, this kingdom smelled divine, smelled like she had shifted. She panted, even through her lungs were telling her she was no longer winded. She didn't need as many breaths. There was a tickling at her neck, her skin slowly beginning to stitch itself back together. She was healing herself, and, like, she couldn't take her breath. I'm like, I don't, she's, you know. She's just overwhelmed.
I mean, that's handy.
And then her fire, her wildfire starts crackling. And then in her fingertips, the forest around them, so much kindling. And then she shoved back, took the fear, and used it like a battering ram inside herself against the power, shoving it down, down. And then Rowan is like, bro, you gotta let it out. Like, can't keep it in.
Better out than in, I always say.
And then a pulse beating against her, nipping, smelling of snow and pine, Rowan's power taunting hers, not like her fire, but a gift of ice and wind, a freezing zap at her elbow, and her falling back against the tree. And magic bit her cheek now, magic attacking her. And then basically Rowan kind of like pulls the air out of her, suffocating her fire because he knows that like she can't control it. And then of course she shifts back immediately and is like, oh, human again. And Rowan's like, do it again. And she's like, I can't fucking do it.
Another.
Yeah, another.
The fact that their powers complement each, like, that his power is
and the way they, like, describe
hers.
It, and even, even Aelin is, like, Maeve had put Rowan there for a reason based on, like, her fire and, like, his ice and wind, which, I mean, Maeve knows everything and is, like, pushing everything together.
We've said it before, and I will say it again. Maeve is top tier villain, long term planning. Like, it's actually unreal.
even like in these chapters to Maeve, like things Rowan says about Maeve, I'm like, bruh, they are so ignorant. They know nothing. And then Rowan goes into, I won't be biting you again, even if it's the only way. And then she was like, even if it's the only way to get me to shift. And he was like, I don't bite females who belong to other males. And I'm like, yikes. And then she was like, I'm not with that, bruh, Kale. Like, Kale is stupid. Like, why are we still talking about Kale? Like, I don't understand.
Look who's standing in front of you, bitch.
I'm not even sure why we did a whole book on Kale. So.
And then, of course, Rowan is demanding. She shifts again. She says, why don't you just bite me? And he rebuttals with, why don't I just give you the lashing you deserve? And then that just spirals the whole thing. And it's just like, immediately, she was like, this is it. She was like, we all know what happened in Dovier, and then she says to Rowan, I'm leaving. So she just like...
I genuinely think she would have lit that man on fire if he tried to take a whip to her. Like, she would have been like, you want me to shift? Okay, and then just unleashed wildfire, even if it was like burning the entire forest.
And
in that moment, he for sure would have done it.
Oh, for sure. And he like... And he realizes he's definitely said the wrong thing. He was like,
oh. Like, he's like, oh, that's a reaction. And then it's not till, I feel like it's still a little bit till he sees her back. And then he's like, oh.
Yeah.
I fucked up.
I fucked up. So Rowan didn't stop her. She returns to the fortress, packing her bags. So, because she's going to leave. She doesn't know where she's going to go. She's going to go try to figure out. She's got to figure out another way to figure out the shit about the word keys, destroy the King of Ardalan. Oh, wow. I cannot say that today.
Alderaan.
Oh, there we go. And then
destroy me in it.
And she also wants a free Elway. This is all she's, like, thinking about right now.
Just real casual to-do list. Easy peasy.
And then, of course, Rowan finally catches up to her. Is this what you do? Run away when things get hard. Again, we all know Aelin is self-sabotaging. Like, this whole, like, being an assassin, not wanting to be the princess, and then just trying to figure out what she's even doing in the world. Like, she doesn't want to be the princess. She doesn't want to be the queen. Like, she does run. Like, being an assassin was easy to, like, you know, it was textbook of what she basically needed to do. And she didn't have to think about her other life and be a part of that. So... Rowan's making her think, and then she pushes past him, keeps on walking. She tells him, you're free of your obligation to train me, so I have nothing more to say to you, and you have nothing more to say to me, just both a fever and go to hell. So, again,
awkward.
So awkward. And then...
You know what's more awkward?
Oh, God, what?
The fact that, like, they don't acknowledge anything going on between them.
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
The burning tension.
Miscommunication is disgusting.
I don't even know if this is miscommunication so much as just no communication, period.
Yeah, zero communication happening. And then he was like, have you ever had to fight for anything in your life? And then she lets out a low, bitter laugh, walked fast, veering westward, not caring about the direction she's going in. She just wants to get away from him. And said, you're proving me right with every step you take. And she's like, I don't care. She said, I don't know what you want from Maeve, what answers you're looking for, but you don't know what I want from her. How about saving the world from the King of Ardalan? Why bother? Maybe the world's not worth saving. She knew he meant it too. Those lifeless eyes spoke volumes. And then Aelin, of course, goes on her rampage about, because I made a promise to Nehemia, I have to save her world, blah blah blah, I made an unbreakable vow. And then Rowan's like, and what of your own people, of your own kingdom? And she was like, they're better off without me, just as you said. So you'd save another land, but not yours. Why can't your friend save her own kingdom? He goes there. And she was like, he's throwing it in this sequence.
Yeah.
And then she goes, because she is dead. And then she screamed, because she is dead and I'm left with my worthless life. and he merely stared at her with that animal stillness when she walked away and he didn't come after her. Was he again said all the wrong things, nothing correct.
What a man.
What a man in this moment. I still like, I'm like, Rowan, come on, man. But I'm like, that bite. We'll just,
I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch. That's really mean. But that bite, though.
Yep. So basically, she's just walking along, doesn't know where she's going to go. So she's in the forest of Windland. And you know what Rowan has told her before? Don't start a fire. So she's, you know what she does? She starts a fire.
Well, sure.
Not even with her magic. And then
that somehow makes it funnier to me.
I know. Literally. Like... So, and then she's like, tomorrow she'd start over, blah, blah, blah. She goes to sleep. Wakes up pretty soon after because she's hearing something, and that's how we end chapter 21.
Dummy. Big old dum-dum.
And she left the fire crackling while she dozed off for however long she was dozed off. So her fire's still crackling. She puts a spear in a hand, stake in the other, and she like goes to this like cave entrance, and there's like rain and her fire, all these things. And then she remembers, oh, no fires. That had been Rowan's only rule while trekking to the fortress. And they stayed off the roads, veering away entirely from the forgotten, overgrown ones, like the path she spied nearby. And she's like, well, shit. And then enters these weird-ass skinwalkers that are terrible.
They freak me out.
Yep. And she tries to escape, but then of course, out of nowhere, because we know Rowan was watching her per usual. He comes in trying to save the day and he's like, you have to shift, yelling at her. He's like, you're gonna die in a human form. We have to run to get away from them. Because Rowan's wind magic doesn't work against the skinwalkers because they don't breathe, which is honestly super creepy that they don't breathe and
that you're like, especially when you have to like run from them, so you're even in your like fae form, you're like fucking booking it, and then you turn around and they're like just following you and just not even breathing.
Uh-huh.
No thank you.
Uh-huh. Mm-mm. So she's able to shift in this moment, and then they're running away, and then Rowan almost gets caught, but then he just slices and dices. It's so hot, even Aelin is like, I might have marveled at the way he moved, the way he killed.
Same, girl, same.
Uh-huh. So they're sprinting, they're continuing their sprint from the skinwalkers, and then they get cornered by the river, and then, surprise... She finally uses her magic and incinerates the skinwalkers. She finally is like, I've had enough. Goodbye.
I feel like it's pretty insane to just, like, all right, cool. Fire! I have no control over it, but fire! Like,
I know, she's not in control over it this whole time.
She knows Rowan could help her, though. I guess, like, knowing he's right there. I gotta
know. And then she shudders at the riverbank from cold and exhaustion, terror at the skinwalkers, terror at what she had done. Rowan, I can't remember if he was in hawk form or not. But his clothes were dry, blah, blah, blah. I think she goes into... Oh, yes. This is where we go into, like, her powers. Like she feels like it's a well and, like, trying to get it to stop and, like, how to control it. And they kind of get into this, which I think is kind of cool in this world versus, like, the other SJM worlds is, like, you have, like, where you can pull and make it deeper mm-hmm. and be able to use your magic in spurts, or you can, like, burn out kind of thing.
I mean, she takes it literally with, like, the Crescent City with the drop, how you literally drop into your power, yeah. like...
Which that's
fuck off, Mads. Jeez.
Madison's rolling her eyes at us. So then Rowan goes into kind of explaining how magic works. So all magic has a bottom, a breaking point. For those with weaker gifts, it is easily depleted but easily refilled. They can access most of their power at once, but for those with stronger gifts, it can take hours to get to the bottom to summon their powers at full strength. And like I said, I just love that they have a well for their magic. Like, even the magical people in this world aren't, like, fully invincible. Like, they have an end. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't use everything, so they're not, like, full, you know?
Well, like, towards the end of this, where he was like, oh, like, really powerful people have hours to dig in. You sure about that? It's just hours? People, it's just hours?
Uh-huh.
People, I don't know, days?
Mm-hmm. And then they kind of dive into what really got Aelin to shift this time, what kind of triggered it, and why she was able to actually kind of control her magic this time. Aelin is... Sorry, Xena is barking in the background if you hear her.
I've got a absolute, great. Like, just chaos going, so it's fine.
You know, Aelin is still pretty self-loathing and self-sabotaging, and she really only shifted because she wanted to save Rowan in that moment. So she imploded, like usual, to do that. So
that shows what a good person she is at heart, because this man just bit you, pissed you off to no end, mocked, like, made you think about the scars on your back, made you confront your friend's death, and then literally, like, within a couple hours, you're like, oh, shit, okay, I gotta save him. Like, that's a good lady.
Mm-hmm. And then they kind of go into, Rowan does ask about the whipping, like, who was it? And he was like, was it you? Said quietly but not gently, or someone else. And Aelin goes, I was too late, he didn't survive. Again, silence fell, and she cursed herself for a fool for telling him, but then she said hoarsely, thank you for saving me. A slight shrug, barely a movement at all. I am bound by an unbreakable blood oath to my queen, so I had no choice but to ensure you didn't die. But I would not have left anyone to fate at the hands of the skinwalkers. She was like, a warning would have been nice. I said those were on the loose weeks ago, but even if I warned you today, you would not have listened. Which, again, was true in that moment, because she just was so out of her mind, and again, they like argued, just a whole situation. But yeah, so basically Rowan's like, you're not leaving. So, and then Aelin's like, yeah, I guess I'm not leaving. She was like, why? And he was like, because I said so, that's why. And then she didn't argue and just walked back to the fortress with him.
Like, fine.
Fine, I guess. I mean, being her out in the forest of Windland probably wasn't a great idea. Like, he literally had to come save your ass.
Yeah.
So. Oops. All right, that ends chapter 22. Now, we are back with Manon and gang.
Yes!
And it is finally selection day. Thank fuck.
Let's go.
Oh, I actually like this chapter.
This is a good chapter. And y'all, we get to meet one of our favorite characters. It was so good. All right. Everyone else, so they're basically like Manon, all the other matrons and heirs, and like the 13, everyone's like standing around the big pit. And basically the wyverns that are up for selection are going up against the beat beast, as they are calling it, to show if they're worthy and who wants to, like, pick them. So basically it is, like, the witches just get to kind of pick them in a way. And then if, like, two of them want them, they just have to, like, fight it out. So as, like, they've seen, like, the wyverns, everyone, all, you know, Manon and Yellow Legs and the Blue Blood both want Titus. The big, fat, like, not fat, but, like, big, mean wyvern. They all want him. You know, she's, like, wanted was a mortal word, but Titus was hers. And if it came down to it, she'd disembowel any witch who challenged her. So she even sharpened her nails this morning. Like, she's ready to go.
What a bad biddy.
I know, honestly. So basically, as they're, like, looking, like, at the edge of the pit, this is our first description of one of our favorite boo-boos. The bait beast was already chained to the bloodstained wall, a broken, scarred wyvern. Half the size of the bull's, his wings tucked in tight from the platform, she could see that the venomous spikes in his tail had been sawn off to keep him from defending himself against the invaluable mounts. Like, what?
That makes me so sad.
The bait beast lowered his head as the gate groaned open and the first wyvern was paraded in on the tight chains, held by a very pale-faced man. Then darted back as soon as the beast was through, dodging that deadly tail and great shut behind them. And, like, they just, like, have him in this thing just to see if, like, even some of these wyverns are worth for, like, any of the witches to ride. Like, just, like, so incredibly sad, especially who we know Abraxas to be today. Like, the first time you're meeting him, you're just like, what?
You love him.
You just, like, yeah, you love him immediately. Then, you know, one of the wyverns, like, snapping at it, like, gets a hold of him. It just, like, is very sad. Trying to get to the monster.
Oh, yeah, that bitch. What's her name?
Uh-huh. Iskra. Oh. I want to read it out loud because it's crazy. Okay. Then Titus is finally coming out. As it was every other time, the breath went out of her at his sheer size and viciousness. The men had barely scrambled back through the gate before Titus whirled, snapping for them. They'd made only a few successful runs with him, she'd been told, yet under the right rider, he'd fully break. Titus didn't wait for the whistle till he wheeled on the bait beast, striking with his barbed tail. The chained beast stuck with surprising swiftness, and if he sensed the bull's attack, Titus's tail embedded itself in the stone. Chained to the wall, the sweet Abraxas could do nothing. The man whistled, but Titus kept at it as he moved with fluid grace and untamed savagery. The bait beast yells, and Manon could have sworn the blue blood air flinched. She never heard a cry of pain from any of the wyverns, yet as Titus sank back on his haunches, she saw where he'd struck, right atop the earlier wound in the bait beast's flank. Oh, I know. And then she's like, Manon is just seeing, like, Titus being great and, like, riding a beast like Titus, ripping apart her enemies with him, and then ... And it's like, if you want him so badly, Iskra whispered. Manon realized she was still standing beside her, only a step away now. Why don't you go get him? And then literally before Manon could move, before anyone, because, like, Astrin's right there, Ironclaw shoved into her back and pushes her into the pit. So Manon's in this pit now, and she's like, oh, shit. She slammed to the ground, her ankle wrenching. Cries came from above, but Manon didn't look up. If she had, she might have seen Astrin tackle Iskra, claws and teeth out. So they're fucking fighting. They're like, what the fuck? You just push my leader into the fucking pit. Fuck you.
Also, like, the witches are, like, pride themselves on being, like, badasses. Like, they are, you know, kind of crazy, uh-huh. but, like, in their own way with, like, structure. So, like, this was, I feel like it was just so fucking, like, one, just a dick move in general, but, like, anti their culture for Iskra to do this. So, like, all she did was just show that she's, like, a piece of shit.
Correct.
Like,
we knew that.
It's embarrassing.
It's literally embarrassing.
Well, I'm saying all of the other witches, though, are now, see, like, you just, like, blatantly, like, disrespected yourself and your clan. Idiot.
Now Titus turned toward her, and she was like, oh, shit. The wyvern stood between her and the gate, and the men were rushing to and fro, trying to decide, should they risk saving her or wait until she wasn't there? So, like, these men are just dumbasses. Are they, like, Valgan anyway, or no? I can't remember at the camp.
I always wondered if they were either, like, Valg, or they just were, like, they're not there, like, they're there against their will. Like, they're terrified, just, like, prisoners, basically.
Yeah. So Tysa's tail is lashing back and forth, Stark eyes pinned right on Manon. She drew Windcleaver. It was a dagger compared to the size of him's, but she had to get to the gates.
Book.
She stared him down. Tytus was settled onto his haunches, preparing to attack. She knew where the gate was, too, and what that meant for her, his prey. Not a rider or mistress, but prey. All the witches had gone silent now, the men at the gate, upper platforms, silent. Manon rotated her sword. Tytus lunged. She had her roll to avoid his mouth and was up in a second, sprinting like hell for that gate. Her ankle throbbed. She limped, swallowing her scream of pain. Tytus turned, fast as a spring, streamed down a mountainside, and she hurtled for the gate, and he struck with his tail. Manon had enough sense to whirl to avoid the venomous barbs, but had caught an upper edge of the tail and went flying. Windcleaver reaching from her grip, she hit the dirt near the opposite wall, face scraping, her ribs bleeding in agony, all the things. But Tytus was hesitating. His eyes lifted up behind her, above her, to darkness embrace her. She'd forgotten about the bait beast, the creature chained behind her, so close she could smell the carrion on his breath. Tytus's stare was a command for the bait beast to stand down, to let him eat Manon. Manon dared a glance over her shoulder to the sword in the shadows, so close to the chained anchor of the bait beast. She might have risked it if the beast wasn't there. If he wasn't looking dead at her, looking at her like she was not prey. Tytus growled in a territorial warning as the bait beast again, so loud she could feel in every bone. Instead, the bait beast, small as he was gazing at her with something like rage and determination. Emotion, she might have called it. Hunger, but not for her. No, she realized as the beast lifted its gaze to Tytus, letting out a snarl in response. Manon felt that ebb and flow in the world, that invisible current, that something called fate. And some called the loom of the three-faced goddess. Tytus roared his final threat. Manon twisted on her feet, and then Abraxos is Tytus is like trying to tear through him. Manon scooped up her sword, bringing it down upon the thick rusted chain, and then like freeze Abraxos, and then she's like, Windcleaver, they called her blade. Now they would call it Ironcleaver. The chain snapped free as Tytus leapt for her. Tytus didn't see it coming, and there was something like shock in his eyes as the bait beast tackled him and they rolled. And like, Tytus is like twice the size of Abraxos. Like, yeah. He's like tiny, and he's like going for this big old wyvern. And then a boom and a shocked murmur sounded, and Manon dared one look in time to see the wyverns leap apart and the beast strike again. The blow from that scarred, useless tail was so strong Tytus had slammed into the dirt. As Tytus searched his legs, the beast fainted with its tail and made a swipe with its jagged claws, and Tytus was roaring in pain. Manon froze, barely 15 feet from the gate. The wyverns circled each other's wings, scraping the ground, and yet the beast would not stand down. Abraxas is like standing firm. Tytus went right for his throat with no warning, but then Abraxos' tail connects with his head. Tytus reels back and then lunges, jaw and tail snapping. Once those barbs got into the flesh of the bait beast, it would be done. The bait beast dodged the tail by slamming its own down on top of it, but couldn't escape the jaws lashed onto its neck. Over. It should be over. Bait beast thrashing, but couldn't get free. Manon knew she should run. Others were shouting. She had been born without sympathy or mercy or kindness. She didn't care which one of them lived or died as long as she escaped. But that current was still flowing toward the fight, not away from it. She owed the bait beast a life debt. So Manon, you know what she did? The foolest thing she's ever done in her long, wicked life. She ran for Tytus and brought Windcleaver down upon his tail, severed it clean through. Tytus roars. And then she raised herself and saw the final lunge that ended it. Throat exposed by his belly, bellow of pain, Tytus didn't stand a chance as Abraxos pounced, closed its jaws around his neck, killing him. Wow. This, like, in this moment, Abraxos, you're just like, holy shit. Like, so great. And like silence from like all the witches, they're all like, what the fuck? Manon stood absolutely still. Slowly the bait beast lifted its head from the carcass, Titus's blood dripping down his maul. Their eyes met. People were shouting at her to run. The gate groaned open, and Manon stared in those black eyes, one of them horribly scarred but intact. He took a step, then another, toward her. Manon,
this is how you get a pet, I'm telling
exactly.
you.
Exactly! Manon held her ground. It was impossible. Impossible. Titus was twice his size, twice his weight, and had years of training. She just knew he was a warrior. Manon held up a hand and again, basically laser eyes on him and was like, he's mine. And then she just tells him again, you're mine. And then the wyvern blinked at her, and Titus's blood is still dripping from his cracked and broken teeth. And Manon had a feeling that he had come to the same decision. Perhaps he had known long before tonight, and his fight with Titus hadn't been as much so much a survival. It had been a challenge to claim her as his rider, as his mistress, as his. And then, as we know,
why is that hotter than anything else in this fucking book?
I don't know.
Like, Jesus Christ. Like, put some of that fucking chemistry with Rowan and Aelin here, but instead we're getting it with Manon and her pet.
Do y'all remember a couple years ago when Maddie was all about the tension between Rowan and Aelin and Aerithfire?
I'm over
it. Oh my God.
I'm over it.
Because it takes too long.
Yeah.
So Manon named her wyvern Abraxos, from an ancient serpent who held the world between his coils at the behest of the three-faced goddess. Which I feel like has to go with some mythology that she just, like, writes into this, so.
Well, the serpent holds the worlds, it makes me think of the world snake or whatever.
Yep. And then we jump to now she goes Jorgen, back.
Jormungandr or whatever. I'm saying that terribly, but the world serpent. God, if Ian heard that, he's going to fucking, I'm about to get a text from him being like, what did you just call it?
And then we jump back to Manon goes up to what the fuck was happening with all the other witches. And then Astarine has, you know, Iskra in a chokehold. And Iskra's like, oh, sorry, looks like I lost my footing. And then, of course, comes in all the matrons and the heirs. Oh, and, of course, God. Grandmother is very pissed. She's like,
Grandma's mad.
She's like, why'd you pick him? And she was like, I picked him, you know, because I just knew I needed to pick him. And then, of
if
course,
if there's no other haters for her grandmother, just know I'm dead.
Yeah, correct. So grandmother issues a whipping to Astarine and Iskra for fighting in front of everyone, per usual, because that's normal. So basically, Manon's like, you know, since he was the bait beast, I'm really gonna have to train him. So, like, they only have so much time till war games. And, like, he's been in a cage his whole life. Like, he's not been training this whole time. So, she's got a little work cut out for her. And then, because she was Manon Blackbeat, and she never failed at anything, and there would be nothing better than watching Abraxos bite off Iskra's head on the battlefield. So, she's determined.
I love that.
And that is sadly the end of chapter 23. So now we're going to bounce to Kale. Kale is, you know, continuing to work on information for Edian and the rebels, you know, info for info. Basically, like we said earlier, he's trying to save Dorian and keep him safe, keep his magical secret safe, blah, blah, blah. He's like, even if Dorian's mad at me, I don't care. Like, I'm going to do whatever I can to keep him safe. So basically Kale's idea is to show Adian the tomb, Elena's tomb under the castle. And, you know, Dorian's doing a little bit of sneaking around, just wondering what Kale's doing with Adian, and finds out that Kale shows him the tomb and does not like that they're hanging out together. Like, here's Kale and Adian are kind of like chit-chatting, whatever. And they bring up, oh, the queen and Aelin and Selenia and all the things, and Dorian's over here like, what? Oh my gosh, no way. Like, Aelin's the queen? Selenia? What? He like gets this like one... I'm like, what, it took you this long, brother?
This is one where I'm like, look, you and Kale are in love. First off, let's just acknowledge yes. that and work with that. Second, both of you are like angry at the other and or like think that you can't tell the other what you know as far as the secrets you do know. This is the true miscommunication that pisses me off, where I'm like, yep. you guys are best friends, also low key, like I said, in love with each other. Dorian, tell them about your, like, it, you know, work with them with your magic. Let him know what's going on. Kale, tell him who his, you know, former crush is.
Uh-huh.
Like, what are we doing, guys?
Miscommunication's so hot.
So hot. And then, basically, Dorian's like, why did you send her off? Like, this doesn't make sense. And he was like, because of, or like, why didn't you tell anyone? He was like, because the fewer people who knew where she was safer for her, for everyone, for you. If they have information that might, they might have information that might help you. And then Dorian's like, Kale, you really think I'd run to my father? Like, sir, like, I'm not going to tell him. No one wants to talk to him. Now you're not talking to me. I get that
maybe as the series goes on, gets, like, he has his moments, but then there are other times where I'm like, you son of a bitch. This is one where I'm like, you sent off the rightful heir, the Queen of Terrasen, who you know is, like, one of the few that could help with the situation that you see firsthand as the captain of the guard, which in and of itself is problematic that you keep that position, but whatever. Uh-huh. Knowing that you serve a king who is fucking insane and cruel, and you sent her off thinking, oh, well, I, you know, I have a crush on her. I want to protect her, no one else. But also, you were disgusted with her because, oh my god, an assassin kills people? Who the fuck thought? And then you don't tell Dorian about it because then you somehow don't trust your best friend and think that he would go to his crazy, cruel father, even though you know all of his life Dorian has not liked said father and does not agree with said father's rule. Make it make sense, because this is one of the moments where this is one of the core, I have an issue with Kale. This is, like,
and like
one of the core.
We're, like, almost 50% into Air Fire at this point, and, like, like, Nasil's not told Dorian any of these things. Nope. Like, he's secretly doing all this stuff to, like, save Dorian, but, like, not talking to him about it. Like, not having a conversation. Like,
you would think Dorian's like a 9-year-old little boy he's trying to protect, not a grown-ass man yes! that is the same age.
Yes. I mean, granted, Dorian does not act like a grown man half the time.
Oh, I mean, he does have some immaturity.
he does have some immaturity at moments, but also, like,
you know, he's mature after the whole possession and torture thing, you know? Okay, he gets there,
but, like,
it's a rough path.
Yeah, it's a rough
path. Sorsha, you know, Sorsha getting, you know, it's a rough path, okay? Oh,
yikes.
God,
I freaking
forgot about Sorsha.
Oh, Sorsha. And then, of course, Dorian, in this moment also, too, is, like, kind of turned into Edian and is like, are you going to kill my father? And I was like, does he not deserve to die? And then Dorian's kind of, like, worried that Edian told his father about him. He's like, did you tell him about me? And Edian's like, no, though if you don't learn how to control yourself, there soon won't be a soul in this realm who doesn't know you have magic. So, like, he's not doing a great job.
No. The three of them right now are like the Spider-Man meme, where they're all just in a, like, pointing at each other. Like, can I trust you? Can I trust you? Are you going to tell my father? Are you going to tell my father? Like, are you going to tell your father? Like, come on, guys. Get it together.
Uh-huh. And then
this is what happens when you got a group of men trying to figure something out. I'll tell you what.
Exactly.
Honestly.
Oh my gosh. And then, you know, Dorian does this moment of self-reflecting. He was like, oh my gosh, Selenia was ailing Galathinius. He had danced with her, kissed her, slept beside her. I'll come back for you, she said. Blah, blah, blah. He's like, I played with her. Like, what? Like,
I played with her.
Yeah, he says that. Wait.
I played with her.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, because they played chess or whatever.
Yeah. They're like, whatever.
I played with her.
And then, you know, after he's having this reflect moment, Kale comes in. He's like, Dorian, please, I'm doing this for you. I swear it. And Dorian's like, I don't care. And then I will carry your secret to the grave, but I want no part of them. So he ripped his cold magic from the air, turned it inward, and wrapped it around his heart and peaced out and said, see you later.
I mean, that's not ideal.
Yeah, not ideal. So then Adian is leaving the dungeon. He takes that, like, secret exit out, and then he meets up with Murtaugh and Rin, and they now want to know where Aelin is. Adian's like, I can't tell y'all where she is, but she is alive, and, like, it's to keep her secret. And, you know, like, Adian has this whole complex, too, of keeping Aelin safe and thinking he knows how to keep her safe. Basically the same thing Kale's doing for Dorian, but just for separate people, so...
Yep.
And that kind of rounds out chapter 24. Blah, blah, blah. La, la, la. So we jump back to Rowan and Aelin and Wendolyn. So another week passes and no further attempts to skin Aelin alive. So even though she's actually made absolutely no progress with Rowan and shifting, she considered that to be a success. So they haven't been out of your throats as much. So Rowan has kind of calmed it down. He's realized, wow, I said some really stupid shit. So maybe I should just shut up for a little while.
Brilliant.
When in doubt, shut up.
When in doubt, shut up. Despite even what happened with the skinwalkers, Aelin was no closer to mastering her shift, mastering her shifting. And, you know, I think this, like, Rowan yelling at her to shift and, like, her, just, I think it is, she's just so afraid to be Fae, and being in her shifted form means she needs to be the queen and, like, go do all these things she's been avoiding for so fucking long. And just, like,
yeah, her shifted form is, it represents way more
too
than
too much that she just, like, okay, internally cannot shift. Like, she just, like, mentally can't do it and, like, hasn't gotten to that lowest of low to realize that she needs to just fucking get over it. But she's not there yet. And I feel like it's also just the memory of what magic, had felt like, had seared out, threatened to swallow her whole, the whole world. And I think just everything with her parents too has kind of pushed her into the self-sabotaging and not wanting to be in her fae form. So basically one day they're training and Aelin's like, am I going to chop wood today? Or are you just going to sit here and grovel at me? Like, I don't really know what we're doing today. And he was like, actually, we are going on a mission. So because Aelin's been begging to do something useful. So Rowan actually takes her along. They basically come up to a river. So basically, Rowan kind of brought her to use her assassin skills because Rowan really doesn't know what's happening. They find a body. Well, it's kind of a husk of a body that was left in the stream. And the killer left tracks. And then basically this, like, the shell, like, what was around it, like, what they, the essence they could feel, basically felt kind of like a like the Dementor-ish stuff that happened in the Barrowfield when he, like, threw her in and, like, made her do it. It had that same vibe, and she's like, oh, fuck.
Honestly, I feel like she probably still had a lot of trauma there, because that was pretty recent, so as soon as I would feel that feeling, I'd be like, yeah, we're done. She's already dead. We can't help her. Bye!
Yes, exactly. So basically where they were, oh yeah, they're at the ruins of the Sun Goddess's temple. Mala, Lady of Light, as we know, learning in fire. Maybe that's before they went down to the river. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yes. Rotting body, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes into basically this like dementor feeling. It forced me to go through memories, the worst kind. Have you ever heard of creatures that can feed on such things? When I glimpsed it, I saw a man, a beautiful man, pale, dark hair with eyes fully black. He wasn't human. They like his like crate, you know, like Val guys, as we don't know that in this moment, but we, you know, they don't know that, but we know that. And then Rowan goes, even my queen doesn't know every foul creature roaming these lands. And I was like, I feel like she's just withholding a lot of information.
He said that with his whole chest, too.
Oh,
he was
absolutely.
Like, he doesn't know. Like,
I fucking believed it.
He totally fucking believed it. Jeez. And then Aelin's like, maybe the townspeople know something, or they've seen it or heard rumors. So basically they're like, we have an hour before we have to leave. The path led nowhere. They don't really see anything. Blah, blah, blah. So basically at the end of this, Aelin's like, we can't leave this body here. We need to bury it. And then they're like, the ground's too hard. And then they basically kind of like, she wants to shift so she can just like use her magic, but she still can't do it. So they just like start a fire and then burn her body, burn the body, because she's like, I can't leave this like person here. And they watched it burn in silence.
Again, showing that she's a good lady at heart.
Yeah. And I think it just like the loathing had nothing to do with like her vow or to Nehemia or like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She just has this ageless pit inside of her, just wants to see if she could pull up whatever trigger it caused a shift so she could help her sad little fire burn even more proudly. But she's still just stranded in her mortal body, not able to shift.
I was gonna say, for how like she's so young relatively, and she's lost so many people and had it so rough, and like she just internalizes every single loss and like makes it her fault. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And that's just, it's hard to come back from. Like that's a big pit to put yourself in to climb out of.
Yeah. And she just hasn't figured out how she can do that yet.
Boy, when she does start to though, oh my God, woo! Queen of Shadows, Aelin. Oh my God, the conniving, the confidence. Oh my God.
Mm. Mm, mm, mm. Mm-hmm. All right, that takes us into chapter 26. So we're back to Kale. Yuck. And so he's heading to meet Adian because they've not able to have a moment to speak. Basically, like, Kale showed him all that stuff in the tomb, and because Dorian kind of interrupted, he wasn't able to get information from Adian about how they can, like, free magic or whatever, figure out how to like help Dorian.
Mm-hmm.
So the one place they know they can secretly meet, they're meeting at Aelin's apartment. This is the first time we get to see her apartment, and it is bougie AF. Like, even though it's not like huge, but you can tell she had some money. She also has a cooling box in her apartment, so like that shows that she's an assassin.
Yeah.
Her apartment.
Also, I love that, like, that Kale was like, oh my God, you're an assassin and you actually kill people. And then he's like, oh, wait, being an assassin gave you this money, but I'll sure, like, take advantage of your apartment while you're gone. That was fueled by your assassin money.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So the apartment consists of two bedrooms. They both each have their own bathroom, a kitchen, and then a great room with a huge couch and a carved marble fireplace. Two oversized velvet armchairs, and then on the other half of the room was an oak dining table seating 8 places. Settings still laid out, places of porcelain and silver flatware that had long since gone dull. The only evidence that this apartment had been untouched since whoever he then it goes into like Arabin, had like the place like sealed up, so like no one had been there. And then
he's a creep and I don't like him, but at least he sealed the apartment up. So like,
yep,
kept it. Granted, it was for nefarious reasons, but still.
Yeah. Anyway, so basically, then Adian shows up, and then Adian then also is taking in the apartment. He's like, oh, my queen, this is her place. Oh, it feels like she's here.
I'm going to be real honest. Adian, through Air Fire, gave me, like, slightly creeped out vibes.
Yes.
Like,
I thought he was going to be a villain.
He's like brother cousin, you know.
I just, I couldn't like the my. It was like given
villain vibes.
Like I watch you sleep vibes, yeah. Like that obsession, and not like a hot obsession, you know. Yes.
Like
you know, but obsessed. It's okay. He got a little over it, thank goodness.
And then he knows he's like, whether she accepted or hated her past, she decorated the dining table in Tarasin royal colors, green and silver. So of course he's like, oh, she still loves Tarasin. She has all kinds of like knickknacks and all kinds of like cozy things. Kitchen small but cozy. She has, as we talked about, her cooling box. And then he goes in and looks in her bedroom. She's got like a 4-poster bed. It's like massive. And then her mattress looks like a cloud. And then she has marble tiled bathing room that has possessed its own plumbing system. And we all remember what happens in that beautiful tub. And then he goes into her closet. He's like rummaging through all her shit. So like, I'm just like, what are you doing?
See, that's what I'm saying. It's like, he's a like, little
I can
weird.
Still smell her basically. And I'm like, bro,
I'm sorry. Come on, man.
Stop.
All I can think is Edna Mode. Pull yourself together.
I know. And then at the end, he's like, when she came back, he was never letting her go. Like, it just keeps going. Mm-hmm. Just keeps going. So then Adian and Kale kind of hang out on the couch. And then basically Adian's just telling Kale some stories. And, like, Kale's like, this is an actual information to help me. And, like, I actually want information. And then, you know, Kale's just getting his panties in a wad because Adian, like I said, is giving him stories. And he gave him, and Kale's like, I gave you world-changing information from showing you the tomb, blah, blah, blah. And then Adian's kind of going into kind of where we figure out, like, the magic kind of, like, centers to, like, in our... in the kingdom of like all the 3 hit spots of where magic stopped and like they're gonna need to like re-up them. So they're like trying to map out some of that. So Kale gets a little bit of information, but he's also just like, this was like nothing. And then Adian's like, well, I don't care. So he's like, that's all I got. Sorry. Like, can't tell you too much. We'll figure out more. So Adian, for today, he was like, for your part of the bargain, he's just interested in why Kale's working with the enemy now and hadn't been before. And then Kale just goes back into, like, he's just protecting Dorian. So,
Right.
And Kale's like, do I really even need to tell him this? Because, like, I've given him so much. So it's just this whole thing that Kale's getting his panties in a wad because he's not getting straightforward answers because he doesn't know how to figure it out. So can't help you there, bruh. Then we go to Dorian and Sorsha hanging out. They're still doing some research to suppress his magic. Then they actually come across something useful, believe it or not, about 40% into the book, that they come across iron was used to imprison people with magic. So Sorcerer's like, oh, if we dose you with iron, some extra iron, because we were like, we give it to our anemic people, but if I give it to you, it can suppress your magic. So he takes it.
Fair enough.
So he takes the dose of iron and she's like, get angry, something, try to do your magic. And Dorian's like, oh, like, this, she is risking her life by telling me to do this, la la la, like, I could explode.
I feel bad for Sorsha and her story, but I also hate Sorsha.
Yeah.
She's just in the way.
Yeah,
she's in the way.
She just has her own, like, journey complex that she's, like, trying to achieve, and, like, Dorian's cute, but, like, not what she needs.
No hate towards her specifically. No. More just, like, I need him to meet Manon, thank you.
Correct. So, he takes it, and then tries to do his magic, and he can't. He's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And he's like, oh, and then he like grabs Sorsha and kisses her. And then he's like, it's just not near enough. And then like Sorsha pulls away. And then she's like, okay, so see you tomorrow. And like kind of backs away from it. And Dorian's like, what? He's basically like so used to everyone bowing at his feet all the time. And like he's thinking about like sleeping with her, blah, blah, blah. But Sorsha's like, not now. No, not today. Kind of complicates things. You're cute, but okay.
A good time.
A good time. Okay, now leave. Bye. That ends chapter 26. And that's where we'll leave. But I did come across
a whirlwind of events.
There were so many things that happened in these chapters because I was like, maybe we could do more. There was like a lot of different things. Because meeting Abraxas was really important. Like
that's the peak right there. Like that's the highlight.
But I did, because I was listening to the audio, so I listened for like the first like couple of paragraphs into chapter 27. So, and this kind of ties into Crescent City, and I just like had a spiral like thought moment. So the Yellow Legs heir, Iskra, our fucking fuck girl. Her wyvern is a massive beast named Findir. Not spelled the same as... It's an I instead of a Y. Which... Because we think the Findirs came from... Aurelia. So I just thought that was interesting. And I was just like, wait, Findir. Like, I don't know that if she used that specifically... like for Danica and like family, if it has any tie to like,
I don't know, maybe at least to show that the name is present in Aurelia. Yeah. Like maybe they like, maybe, I don't know, that's a good question though.
That's just a thought I had, and I wanted to bring it up because I thought maybe you would.
I'm gonna have to think on that one.
I know,
intriguing. But we see that a lot throughout Throne of Glass, though, because there's also, like, the mountains that are, like, Rune's name.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, I think she did it a lot, but I think, I don't know why, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But yeah, that was our deep dive. I'm not as good as you, Blake, but that was pretty, that was okay.
Oh, hush up. Hush up.
Mads at least enjoyed it, I feel like.
Oh, nothing has been better in my whole life.
You whore! Maddie's dead to me.
At least I didn't make Maddie play a silly game this time. And making like her games. Pick
one. Next time. We're playing,
I know.
Silly,
well,
too,
I just like couldn't think of a, like, I don't want to play the same game, you know?
I like That's games. Fair.
I know. Well,
I like games.
Remember when I made you have to pick one book you'd have to read for the rest of your life?
I don't even like remember games, what bitch. I said.
It was either Crescent City, the first one, or Tower of Dawn.
Oh.
Pretty sure you said Crescent City.
Oh, God. Fuck.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. What is your answer? Remind
right
the group. Yeah.
I don't remember what I said, to be honest.
I feel like
you can make it.
Well, I hate Crescent City so much, but at least in like Tower of Dawn, there's like a romance focus.
Wow. Yeah, because this is like post finishing Flame and Shadow. So I think.
Yeah, so that's fair.
You know what I mean? Like, at least there's some sort of romance like storyline.
Uh huh.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, guys. Well, now I kind of want to do these more. Thank you for that, Danielle.
You're welcome.
I'll do it anytime. See, I was doing a reread of the series, and I left off with the audio for Kingdom of Ash just because I didn't want to cry.
Same. I am also on Kingdom of Ash on my audio reread, and I just...
I'm just like, better not.
I know, because I've gotten to the part where Dorian is with Maeve, and then, like, Dorian's heading back to, like, where Kale and everyone is.
Oh, I haven't even started. I just refuse to start.
See, I've only made it that far, and then I'm like, I can't do
it. I can't do it. We'll see.
Remember
we'll
see. When the one-star review was, like, Kingdom of Ass?
Iconic. I don't agree, but iconic.
I know.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right, so this... let's see, patrons. Book club picks for Blakey's book club. Be sure to get your vote in by 10 p.m. this Saturday. May 11th. Sorry, I had to check myself. Like 10 p.m. Easter, I think I said. But, you know, just get your votes in. Hopefully, we'll be back Sunday with an episode for, you know, House of Earth and Blood for the week. I am on Panda Watch for my niece. So we'll see, and then gotta figure out too, because Sunday is Mother's Day, so I know Caitlin's trying to figure out best time. Madison, obviously, I'm not gonna torture her with House of Earth and Blood. Maybe I'll rope in someone to help me if I need to, but I think that's all I had. Maddie, are your picks up for May?
No, because I'm forgot.
I did send them to her. So
I have them. Danielle's picking May. It's all sad.
Okay.
I already gave her my choices a month ago.
Yeah, okay, well, guys, you've got... I remember...
Hey, listen, asshole! I've been a little busy.
You've got some good picks coming from Maddie, though, that are worth, like, the little minor delay, so don't worry.
Yes. They're not from me, they're from Danielle.
Yeah, they're...
Well, I mean,
they're
for your book club.
Yes. Maddie's book club's gonna be great this month if you're into some FF.
Hell yes.
It's a good array of choices.
I think that's all I had. If I'm missing something, I will post it in the Discord. Also, just thank you for being so gracious and patient with us. As Maddie just said, our lives have been absolutely freaking horrendously hectic and busy lately. So thank you for being nice about it. So I hope you have a great rest of your week. And as always, XOXO, the cadre. Bye!